It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk Live. This is the week four trade four and trade away episode. Adam and I are going to roll through our top trade candidates to get on and off your rosters. Adam, what's going on, man? I mean, you ready to talk all these players who were like, hello, and bye to today?
Yeah, when you just said hello like that, it really reminded me of Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'll take that as a compliment, man. I love that movie.
I watched it because we have Disney Plus. And I was going to say it's for my nephew, but like I use it probably more than him.
I was supposed to say, don't put that off on your nephew. Yeah, you know damn well you're watching Disney Plus. Watch it more than my kids do, probably.
Yeah, of course. But that movie was added recently, I noticed. And I was like, as soon as I saw it, it was like,
is
whatever.
It's on there? Oh my God, this is like breaking news. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so I saw it, and whatever plans I had for that day were immediately pushed to the end of the day. Like, I watched that movie in its entirety. Great movie. But no, it's, you know, it's always interesting how you approach trades, especially on the Wednesdays we do this episode, because it really all sometimes depends on how you did the following week, right? Like, I had a brutal week in most of my redraft leagues. I'm sitting here now, I'm like, all right, let's go. I want to trade. But listen, we do this every single Wednesday. Does that mean you have, if your team's good, ride it out. Your team's probably good. You don't have to make a trade, but there's obviously a ton of avenues to make trades with players that you can buy low on, you know, rest of season schedule analysis, different changes in usage, injuries. And so there's some interesting names here for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a good list of players to get on and off your rosters. But like you're talking about, man, I mean, look, we're sitting at week three, the precipice of week four. And if your team is 0-3, 1-2, and you're looking at the roster and you're like, I don't know about that. But you got good matchups this week, and you think you can take your opponent down, and they've been smack-talking you all week, you need to head over to topropsports.com today. You can sign up with the promo code FTN. Right now, you can create your own personalized head-to-head contests, put up money, and this is another way, like, if you get to 0-4, 0-5, and you're out the window, out the door with even trades at that point, you're like, eh, whatever. But you walk into some good matchups, whether it's waiver wire pickups, what have you, and you think you can take somebody down, it's a way to stay engaged in your leagues and add another layer of competition. Again, topropsports.com, use the promo code FTN, sign up today. Adam, I'm going to kick us off here, man, on a guy that I know we spit a lot of offseason love about, and we talked about him last year. Lord help me. I don't know how many times we kept talking about this, and we're prepping for the show, and we're like, do I put his name in here again? Because apparently people are not doing it enough, and I got to talk about him here now. It's Jonathan Taylor, man. I think people need to go and trade for him right now. Not only, and this is not really leaning into the news at a Colts camp where, like, maybe Marlon Mack is gone, bon voyage.
That doesn't mean anything. He's been a healthy scratch two of the first 3 weeks.
Exactly. Like, this is not really the Marlon Mack news or possibilities. This comes down to Jonathan Taylor's upcoming schedule is good, and it starts this week, people. Against the Miami Dolphins, who are 30th in open field yards allowed. And you look at his next, like, five, six games. He gets Baltimore, whose run defense, they're 23rd in explosive run rate allowed. Houston, 22nd. San Francisco has quietly been bad versus the run. 26th in second level yards allowed, 30th in explosive run rate. Then he gets Tennessee and the Jets. Jonathan Taylor is about to reel off a bunch of really good games, and a guy that I know he hasn't gotten into the end zone, although he has gotten a ton of red zone work. 13 red zone rushing attempts right now, has not plunged into the end zone. And I know Nyheim Hines out touched him in that area of the field last week. I'm not ready to sit here and push the panic button on Jonathan Taylor. Still a good player. The Colts offensive line has quietly been horribly banged up. Quentin Nelson left last week's game. He's day to day, so it doesn't look like that's a long-term concern. Braden Smith has been out for multiple weeks. Hopefully, when we'll see practice reports this week, maybe he gets back. But I think that Jonathan Taylor starts off on the good foot starting this week. And if you need to be putting out feelers in your leagues. If anybody's down on him, low on him, or they're like, it's cut bait time, baby. I gotta go. The running back position is terrible right now, and Jonathan Taylor is still a really damn talented player. So I think it's somebody that, in these upcoming matchups, the Colts can look to feature him or lean on him. But your thoughts on him, Adam?
So, you know what's really frustrating? We probably shouldn't even be talking about having to trade for Jonathan Taylor right now, because he should have went off last week. He was running well, really efficient, and a lot of people look at it and say, oh, the Colts were trailing. So, but like, I talked about this on the solo pod on Sunday, or on Monday, whatever, talked about it Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
They were down by, like, at worst, 8 or 9 points. The game was never firmly out of reach. And the Colts said, you know what? We have a quarterback who has 2 ankle injuries. let's focus our offense around him instead of Jonathan Taylor, who was ripping off, 10-yard runs. And it was frustrating. He had the same amount of touches as Hines. Hines got the touchdown from like 9 yards out, which that's not concerning me. If Hines got the touchdown from a yard out and it wasn't in like a no huddle 2-minute drill situation, then I'd be maybe concerned. But Hines happened to be on the field. It was like a 2nd and goal from the 9 or something, or 1st and goal from the 9. He bounced it outside and had great blocking and walked into the end zone. Okay? Taylor has still been, I think he still leads the NFL in carries inside the 5. And again, like I was a little, not concerned, but just kind of frustrated that he only gave him 11 touches in that game. But I love this matchup against Miami, who just gave up 100 and a touchdown to Peyton Barber. Their run defense has been the weak point of their defense.
For multiple seasons. Right. This is a team that has not been able to tackle well and has had a bad run defense. And this is not just looking at this season. It's last season, too. It's like, it's one of the weak points of this run defense, and they didn't add anybody in the offseason where you're like, oh, well, that's different.
Yeah, we all know that the strength of this defense is the back end. It's the corners. Yes. But nothing else really scares you. And I mean, the Colts are, I forgot about it because, I wasn't, other than the Bills, I don't really focus too much about win loss. The Colts
really?
Are
really? No. Wow, that's shocking to me. I'm so surprised.
But I didn't realize the Colts were 0-3.
Yeah.
Like, give Jonathan Taylor the rock. He's your best player on offense. I understand Michael Pittman's having a nice kind of couple games to start the season and stuff, but it's not even remotely close to your best player on offense is. And yeah, I understand the offensive line hasn't been what we expected it to be, but Quentin Nelson got carted off. I was like, oh boy. But like you said, he's day-to-day, so that's got to be at least a little encouraging. And he still has 2 matchups with Houston, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. He's got Miami this week. Like, the matchup last week was great, Tennessee. I thought he was going to go off, which he should have. I think Jonathan Taylor, there's no way he should get 11 touches in a game again. Like, and I understand Naheem Hines is one of the 5 best pass catcher running backs in the league. Jonathan Taylor's routes haven't been exactly low. Like, he's not going to catch as many balls as Naheem Hines most likely, but he's running a good amount of routes and enough routes to make a difference in PPR leagues too. So yeah, if you can get Jonathan Taylor for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and a player, I would do that relatively quickly.
I mean, I think that you can, there's a lot of ways to go about it trying to get Jonathan Taylor. And my whole thing is that with the state of the running back position and looking at it right now, how many guys do you feel good about? Much less, it's a player that I think that people, I'm not going to say soured on, but they could be down on him, especially looking at all of this and then saying, well, he's got stuffed at the goal line how many freaking times? Oh, it's bad. And Carson Wentz, the stink around him. You look at these matchups, and he's a player that's still going to walk into 15 to 20 touches weekly. The matchup's set up well. He needs to be the crux of their offense. And all that needs to happen is he goes out and he eviscerates Miami this week. And good luck. You can't get him. You're not going to get him. So you need to be putting out offers now.
He's not losing his goal line job. I understand people will look at Naheem Hines' usage last game. None of those carries were inside the 5-3 goal line. They're not giving Naheem Hines the carries inside the 5 over Taylor. So I think, especially because Miami, even like I said, they weren't behind by as many points as people think. If they're, you know, I haven't looked at the spread yet, but assuming they're favorites, like Taylor should be able to get back to 20 touches. And if he gets 20 touches against Miami's run defense, he should be really good. By the way, happy birthday. I guess it could be both of our birthdays because we both loved it. But Rashad Bateman officially activated off IR.
Yes! You love to see it. We should have mentioned him on waivers yesterday.
Yeah, I messaged you immediately after. I was like, we messed up. We didn't even mention Rashad Bateman, who at the time was...
You could toss him in as a trade candidate if somebody has him.
At the time, he was 15% rostered on Yahoo. So I guess the reason I overlooked him is because like I have had him stashed for a while. So it's like it kind of just escaped my mind. But
been here, never left. I was like, I never even dropped him. I put him on the IR or I'm just holding him on the bench. I was like, we could wait 5 or 6 weeks for greatness.
I'm obviously joking because this was a timetable, right? He was expected to return end of September, early October. Yep. But timing wise, gets activated the week after Marquise Brown can't catch a football.
Hey, man, log it into things that you love to see. I'm not throwing shade at Marquise Brown, but Rashad Bateman being back, he is very quickly going to show people that he is the dude, and we're going to love it. So moving off of Jonathan Taylor, walk me into one player that you are looking to get on your rosters right now.
Stop what you're doing. Go trade for Stephon Diggs. Yep. Do it. They have Houston this week. They're probably going to score 40 points again. And Stephon Diggs' underlying numbers, yes, he's been, 60 yards in every game, nothing more. He had the one touchdown in week two. His underlying numbers are still good, like a 26% target share. He's actually tied with Emmanuel Sanders for the team lead in deep targets with 7. And that number is like 4th in the league, by the way. And they both have 3 end zone targets tied for the team lead. The only problem with Diggs has been they've had 2 really good games on offense each of the last 2 weeks, but Diggs wasn't the one that had the huge game. It was Sanders last week, and you can throw in Beasley, who had a huge game in PPR, and then the week before was the running backs. We know with the target share he's seeing and the overall targets and the offense he's in and the player he is and with Josh Allen, games where Buffalo scores 40 points, more often than not, Diggs is going for 100 and a touchdown. So, and you look at their schedule, like I said, Houston this week, good luck. And then Tennessee, Kansas City, like those Tennessee doesn't have a single person. We talked about Christian Fulton playing pretty well. He's not covering Stephon Diggs. Kansas City's defense has been terrible. For me, there's a lot of receivers in that same range, right? Like these top 5 receivers that have struggled a little bit lately. Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley really hasn't even been that bad. It's just he hasn't had spike weeks because of the offense. But
it's not on Calvin Ridley.
His underlying numbers are like Stephon Diggs. They're great. He's getting massive targets. His yards per out run. Like, everything's great. It's just Matt Ryan.
He's got Captain Shite Pants. Like that's the
and
problem.
Arthur Smith's been bad too, man. Like
I'm not gonna. Yep. I won't shy away from that.
Like they're like relying on the run when they're trailing in games. They're checking it down, which is also more Matt Ryan. But
The offensive line too. I think that's a big thing for the offensive line
but
as well.
I understand Beasley's playing well and Sanders is playing really well, but at the end of the day, Stephon Diggs is the one on one of the best passing offenses in the league, and their schedule 3 straight fantastic matchups. So this is your last chance to trade for Stephon Diggs.
And these are the things that we talk about, Adam. You want to chase underlying metrics, elite numbers that we still look at, whether it's like, and I wrote this up at the DFS game by game last week. It was like a blow-up was coming for DK Metcalf. A blow-up was coming for Justin Jefferson. You look at these target shares, air yard shares. Like these things, we were like, okay, they're going to pop. We just have to wait until that happens. And some of that's matchups, dude. Like, I mean, them going against Washington last week, William Jackson is a shutdown elite damn corner. Okay, so again, and hey, Calvin Ridley gets them this week. So if Calvin Ridley has another down game, this creates again a better vacuum for you to go say, hi, hello, yes, Calvin Ridley. You want him still? I think that it's going to present another opportunity to get him on your rosters, man. So I love the Diggs call because I'm with you. Like Jonathan Taylor, he is going to just blow up this week. So I think you need to make a move for him.
By the way, the answer to which Bills receiver do you play this week is all of them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I like they're going to drop. They're like 17.5 point favorites, which like seems high, Lord. But then it's like, and then you see the report that the Texans are going to open up the playbook for Davis Mills. I'm like, go ahead, open it up.
That should make you a little bit more scared.
Open up the whole damn book. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Let him read all the pages. That's fine. I want to stay on the trade for before, and you're kind of hinting at a guy that I'm going to tell you people to trade away for or trade away. I want to stay on the trade fours right now and stay in the backfields. Another running back, because the position is quietly, it's gross right now. And it's funny because we spent the entire offseason talking about how we didn't want this player. We weren't high on him. You specifically called him Arizona's motor. Chase Edmonds, man. I'm changing my tune. We talked about this before we turned on the mics. We're both in agreement here. Got to get him on your roster. Like, the pass game concerns have been, basically, we were wrong. We were totally wrong. Dude owns a 17% target share. He is quietly the RB17 in PPR right now. Has been a top 24 running back in every single week. RB17, 20, and 23. He's had 75 or more total yards in every single game. And these things, I don't think they're going away, Adam. Like, yes, Rondell Moore is going to be more of a part of this offense. Chase Edmonds is still garnering a target share. He's getting now, like you talked about, man, some work in the red zone. The upcoming schedule is not daunting. It's not amazing. They got some pretty good matchups here in a few weeks.
This matchup this week is like quietly pretty favorable.
Yes, I don't disagree with that at all. They get the Rams. Then they get San Francisco, who, like we talked about, has been quietly bad versus the run. Chances for some explosive plays there. And then three really good matchups against teams that are either struggling versus running backs or specifically pass-catching running backs with Cleveland, Houston, and Green Bay. How you beat Cleveland and Green Bay specifically is with pass-catching running backs. 24th and 29th in DVOA versus the position. Chase Edmonds is a guy I think is being slept on, especially if you're talking about now we're walking out of two touchdown James Conner week, and if people could be pressing the panic button on Chase Edmonds and not really understanding, like, I mean, he has been quietly really good, man. Like, the Austin Eckler light, and I'm not saying that, like, being crazy, but he had eight targets last week.
Dude, so, listen, like, clearly on this podcast, I talked about how in the offseason I wasn't interested in Chase Edmonds. But, and it's not like he's been like, for fantasy, has been incredible because he hasn't scored, which is still a concern. But he's kind of like DeAndre Swift. He's getting 10 carries a game and 6 to 7 catches a game. Now, it was weird because I alluded to it before we got on the pod, and you were like, really? Like, and I came away kind of surprised too, but he is currently 6th among all running backs in routes run, 3rd among all running backs in targets. He's playing out wide around 11% of the time, in the slot 12% of the time. And he's got the Rams this week, who just gave up 9 catches and 50 yards and a score to Geo. Again, a lot of that was, you know, trailing late in the game, but yeah, maybe the Cardinals trail in this game. The Rams look like the best team in the NFL. And they play a lot of zone, and they can shut down receivers with their corners. So this could be another 8-catch game from Chase Edmonds. The only thing that could make this potentially not great, but he's still going to give you a floor. Connor still seems to be the short yardage back. He scored 2 from like a yard out last week. And if DeAndre Hopkins' target share goes back to what it, or close to what it used to be, because Hopkins is like an 18% target share right now. Last year was around 29%. But a lot of that also has to do with Christian Kirk. Mm-hmm. Rondell Moore is obviously, when he's on the field, he's getting targeted at a high rate. And AJ Green's getting looks. So if Hopkins goes back to a 25, 26, 27% target share, maybe it's AJ Green's targets coming down or Kirk's and not Chase Edmonds. So, but I agree. Like, you talked about the need for running backs. Edmonds, like, what's the difference between Edmonds and DeAndre Swift's usage right now?
There's Swift's, not a whole lot, man. And I mean, Swift's maybe
scoring
overall
touchdowns, and he's a better player, but there's no denying who's in the better offense. So,
yep. Well, here's the other part about this is that we're talking about he's gotten top 24 weeks. If he scores in any of those, he's an RB1.
Yeah.
Like, easily. So you're talking about, we're seeing probably, and this is most likely the floor for Chase Edmonds. And I'm not saying, I'm like, that sounds kind of crazy right now. And people are like, well, but he hasn't scored. What about the targets? All these other outs and stuff like that for him. It's like, he hasn't gotten any touchdowns. Like, this is all his production just based off of catches and yards and stuff. If the touchdowns come, the dude is walking into RB1 weeks. Like, that's going to happen. So I think right now is the time to make the move for him, especially if we're talking about coming off of James Conner 2-touchdown week and these upcoming matchups. You need to go get Chase Edmonds right now. Not yesterday, not 5 minutes ago, now. Right now. So go get Chase Edmonds on your rosters. Adam, any other players that you're looking to make moves for in leagues right now?
Like I kind of mentioned, like I don't love the offense, but I still believe Calvin Ridley's an elite player, and the underlying metrics are still good. So I like, if you can trade for him, I would still try to do that. You could throw in David Montgomery. I understand the Bears' offense is, with the play calling and everything, it's an absolute train wreck. But the one constant is David Montgomery is getting the rock. I think he had 100% of their touches last week. He got hurt for a couple plays in week one, and then we saw Damian Williams come in. But since then, it's been all David Montgomery. And again, they have Detroit this week, which is a favorable matchup, so he could have a nice game. And then he's just getting all the opportunities. So I would probably throw Ridley and Dave Montgomery in there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with either one of those, man. And if you head over to FTNFantasy.com right now, Chris Meany rolls through his trade targets, players to get on and off your rosters. Get signed up with the promo code FTC today. Save 10%. There's some really good players here. Like Meany's rolling through, and I'm not going to roll off all of these, but I'm going to go to here at the bottom. One that stuck out to me is Allen Robinson, that Meany highlighted as a buy low candidate. Look, I'm not telling you that the Bears offense looked great last week. I'm not going to tell you that at all.
Can it be worse?
No.
I think there was a stat that the Packers on that last drive on Sunday with 37 seconds left had more yards than the Bears in their entire game.
Ooh.
Or something like that. I think it was something like that, which is what?
It's painful. It's so painful, man. But walking through Meany's article here, love a lot of the calls that he's making both on both sides of the arguments here. With Allen Robinson being a good buy low, I mean, the target share is still there. I think that there are better days to come for the Bears passing attack. Kicking it over to some sell highs here, he walks through Christian Kirk and AJ Green as being sell highs. I don't disagree with either one of those because I think Rondale Moore is still going to factor into this passing game.
Is anyone trading for them, though? Maybe Kirk.
I think Kirk, man. Like, he's had two good games out of three right now.
He's dominating their air yards, too, if I'm not mistaken.
He is. He's a deep target right now. I mean, he had a 2-touchdown game. He had 100 yards. I think that people could be looking to make a move for Kirk. And they're also missing the fact that Rondale Moore put the ball on the ground last week. After that happened, he got iced. I think the coaching staff set him down.
Yeah, that was interesting. We didn't mention, Hopkins as a trade for, I don't want to go too off. It's not really off topic because we're on the Cardinals, but are you worried at all about his target share?
No.
Okay.
I'm not that worried about his target share. He's still freaking DeAndre Hopkins, man. I'm slightly worried
that he's not, and I talk about this after week one or after week two. I'm slightly worried that he's not going to be in the same realm as Devontae Adams and Stephon Diggs and those receivers, which could bump him from, the consensus, what was he being drafted? Wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, depending on who you had over him, Ridley or not. Maybe that bumps him down to wide receiver 6 or 7 or 8, but I don't think he's top 3 anymore.
No, but I mean, the other side of that coin is he still a wide receiver 1? The answer is yes. So as long as he's giving me wide receiver 1 production, maybe it's not top 5, that's fine. I mean, look, we're out of draft season and stuff like that. What you paid and what and where you drafted guys needs to sit here and not be part of your process. You need to be looking at weekly matchups and looking at the rest of the season for right now. Is DeAndre Hopkins still wide receiver 1? Yes. Is he still in one of the best offenses in the freaking NFL that's going to put up, I mean, they're going to be top 3 in scoring for the whole rest of the season, top 3 in passing attempts. Are all of those things true? Yes. So for DeAndre Hopkins, I think better days are ahead. Before we kick this over to trade for like our players that we're getting rid of right now, Meany walks through in his article 10 players, the top 10 players that are the most traded over on CBS Leagues. I want to get your thoughts, Adam, real fast. Like, would you be trading for or trading away these guys? So let's hit this rapid fire, dude. CEH, trade for or trade away?
I would still try to trade him away because I think this... I wouldn't be shocked if this was, if week three was the best game he has all year, which was a good game, but like there's still some concerns.
Okay.
Like, I still don't think he's guaranteed to get goal line carries. Like, he scored from like 8 yards out in a screen pass, which he walked into the end zone, but like he had a great game and a great matchup. I'd feel a lot better if he scored 2 1-yard obviously you feel better, but like if he got the short yardage, the good thing though is he fumbled again in this game and they went back to him still. He had what, 19 touches? So
yep.
I don't think he's a guy that you, if he's on your roster, you say, okay, I got the good game out of him, I have to trade him now before week four, but I still would try to trade him.
So I'll give you the opposite side of this real fast. I would trade for him only because I think Philly is going to present another really good matchup. They played a lot of too high. They invited the Cowboys to run on them.
You're probably going to play too high again against the Chiefs. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yep. The offensive line is quietly struggling. I think they're going to play better as this offensive line gels down the stretch. So I'd be trading for him. Tyson Williams, trading for or trade away? I mean,
you can't. I
don't think you can get rid of him right now.
How can you do either? You can't trade for him because how can you feel confident about it? He's made what? Week one, he had a good game, but he missed a pass block, and then Latavius Murray played a lot in the fourth quarter. And then in week two, he fumbled. Remember, he had that touchdown. He was going to walk in the end zone, fumbled, and it went in Devin Duvernay's lap. Like, he keeps playing. He keeps making plays, but then he keeps making mistakes, and they have veteran running backs like Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman, who's even getting snaps. And then, like, 5 carries last week. And now Bateman's
coming
back.
And they didn't use him until like towards the end of the game, right, too. Like, it was like,
You can't, nobody's going to trade for him, I don't think. And you can't, honestly, you have to hold. I wouldn't cut him, but you have to hold. You can't, I don't think you can make a move either way.
Agreed. Saquon Barkley, easy trade for?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it only solidifies with Shepard and Slayton probably going to miss time. Yep. And we saw him finally get targets last week. So, yeah, it's, And he looked, I thought he looked, I know it was Atlanta, but I thought he looked good. That's more important for me with a player like Barkley who's coming off an injury. Matchup aside, the fact that he looks better and more confident and stuff and cutting, like that's important to me.
Elijah Mitchell, trade for or trade away?
Kyle Juszczyk got the start of running back, by the way.
I mean, none of that should have been a surprise for people. We were
by the way,
him in the DFS.
Kyle Juszczyk is a great football player. And I love that he balled out on Sunday.
Let's not get off on a tangent about the juice here, man. We could talk for 30 minutes about the juice, okay?
But I'm saying...
One of the best players in the NFL.
But I'm
saying...
Do you
want Elijah Mitchell or not, Adam?
No, I don't, because... Shanahan.
I don't either. I don't either. I'm not against it at all. If you could package him to get up to another player, I would be doing that right now, because...
Who's to say Kyle Juszczyk doesn't get 7 carries again next week?
I mean, my whole thing about it is, how can you tell me that, like, can Trey Sermon still not take over this backfield? Yes. San Francisco's offensive line is quietly playing really bad right now. So, for everybody that wants to hate on Trey Sermon, I could easily make you a really good case to trade for Trey Sermon, if anybody has him. Because if you go back and you watch last week's game, he was having to deal with and trying to make people miss as soon as he got the damn ball in his hands. So if we get better run blocking out of this group, I don't think that everybody's going to possibly rue the day that they spent 50 to 60% of their fab on freaking Elijah Mitchell, who got 100 rushing yards against the Lions, which shouldn't have surprised anybody, again, because it's the damn Lions and they can't stop anybody on the ground. Moving over to Ezekiel Elliott, trading for or trade away? I think you trade for him. I think that people...
Should have been trading for him.
I don't disagree. I mean, I think that people just, they want to hate on Zeke right now. He's still going to get 15 to 20 touches, which, looking at just the landscape of the running back position right now, is immensely valuable. Again, he's in one of the best offenses in the NFL, scoring opportunities. Whether you think he's washed or not, he's still going to be a top 15 back. Rob Gronkowski, trade forward, trade away?
I'm still trying to trade him if I can.
Same.
If you can get an upgrade at receiver or running back, because like I've seen teams that have like Gronk and Tyler Higbee, and it's like trade one of those guys. I'd rather have Higbee. I understand the Gronk allure. He keeps scoring touchdowns. He's with Brady.
Yeah, what do we think? He's going to score like 15 or 20 touchdowns this year, though? That eventually he's going to hit a dry spell there, right?
The problem is he's getting two on Sunday night. That's a lock. That's the lock of all locks. By the way, in case you are living under a rock, Tom Brady returns to Foxborough. I'm like legitimately excited for that game, though. It's going to be like really surreal, right? I would try to at least see what you can get for Gronk, because there's going to be teams that are starting Mike Gesicki at tight end. There's been teams probably starting like Jonnu Smith, who's been terrible. So there's going to be teams that are going to give up, you know, like would you trade if you need another receiver, right? Like a three receiver league, I would trade Gronk for Robert Woods.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you could eat, I'd be doing that in a
heartbeat. Would you trade Gronk for T. Higgins? I would do that too. Yes.
I mean, I think that yeah, I'd be doing both of those easily. I think if you can get anybody in the wide receiver three range for Gronk, I would be making the move for a wide receiver.
Would you trade Gronk for a Steelers receiver not named Deontay Johnson?
Yes. Okay. Especially Chase Claypool. His underlying target metrics, his yards. I wrote him up over at FTN Fantasy yesterday as a dynasty buy. Like, his everything is popping. And yes, I understand that Ben Roethlisberger is terrible, but his yards per route run, still really good. He's right behind Chris Godwin amongst all receivers. And I think it's like 10 or 15 or more targets right now.
He also leads the league in players mossed. I think he mossed somebody last week. And listen, week one, he got Trey White on the sideline. So, he's a really good player.
He's a really good player, and we bet on talent. We like talent around here. A few of these other players that we're going to roll through real fast, man. George Kittle, trade four or trade away? I think you trade four still.
I do, but please let this guy run routes, and please let this guy get targeted in the end zone.
I think that people are low on him. The ceiling is still there. I know he picked up, it sounds like, a calf injury outside of last week. But, again, if anybody's going sour on George Kittle, go get him. Devin Singletary, trade four or trade away?
I think it's almost the same situation as Tyson Williams.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get anything for him. I think you got to hold. James Robinson, trade for or trade away?
Week one looks like an outlier, right? Carlos Hyde got more work. The last 2 weeks, it's been more James Robinson. It's coming off
a lot of work last week.
What do you have, 15 carries and 6 receptions?
Yep.
Like, Jacksonville is going to be bad. They are bad. They're going to be trailing a lot. But with LaVisca Chenault not really being involved in the offense right now, maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing for James Robinson if they're trailing. I don't mind trading for him if you need a running back.
Okay.
I wouldn't go crazy to try to get him like after his huge
game. I don't think you'd have to give up much to get him, though, to be honest.
Right.
With
I still
you.
Think there's some, you know, ways it could go south, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Jaguars are not good. Like, so, I mean, we could still see Carlos Hyde rear his head. Urban Meyer is still going to do dumb shit things for the rest of the season. So, yeah, I see outs where it's a bad thing. But I also see outs where he's slowly getting more and more work. Could he keep doing that for the rest of the season? It's possible, man. Last guy here, Julio Jones. Trade for or trade away? For me, I'm trading him away. I'm getting out of this offense.
This is interesting, too, because it just got reported like 5 minutes ago. So there was this mystery about why Julio wasn't playing in the fourth quarter, whether Mike Vrabel was kind of just, you know, resting him after losing A.J. Brown, or if he actually was legitimately injured. Then it came out that he was, like, dealing with tightness. That's why he didn't play. And then I think it was Ian Rappaport about 5 or 10 minutes ago. I'm going to double check that Julio might miss this week. According to Rap Sheet, Julio Jones getting treatment on a leg injury. His status versus the Jets is up in the air. So, I think this is it might be hard to trade for him if your league sees that he's a little bit banged up right now, but like you can make a case, say, look, AJ Brown's going to miss a couple weeks. Julio Jones is the clear wide receiver one. I think he makes sense to trade. I don't think you have to trade him away, but there's a path there for sure with AJ Brown. AJ Brown's probably going to miss at least a week or two, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, he was almost immediately ruled out with a hamstring injury. So, I mean, for me, I've had concerns about this Titans offense. If you can get rid of Julio Jones right now, and I'm not saying that he's washed or anything of that nature. This team, I've had concerns.
I mean, Derrick Henry's the wide receiver one, so.
I mean, it's going to be all Derrick Henry. Dude's going to get like 55 touches this week versus the Jets.
He's averaging almost four and a half targets per game, easily career high. And last year he had 7 total targets off screens. He's already got 4 this year. Like,
things you love to see.
If he's getting 4 targets a game, it's over. He will outscore everybody. Even McCaffrey when he comes back. He will not in full PPR maybe, but like he will outscore everybody almost. It's not fair. He's got 41 and 31 touches the last 2 weeks.
He is presenting both ceiling and floor outcomes with the pass game usage that we've never seen for Derrick Henry. So I love Derrick Henry. There's no way that anybody's going to part with him in leagues right now. Kick us over here, man. Who is the player that you are like, got to get rid of you. You got to be gone. I don't want you anymore. Kicking him out to the cold.
Not to that extent, but I think this is an opportunity to sell high on Ja'Marr Chase, who's been awesome.
Oh,
and he's going to continue
okay.
to be awesome because he's good at football, and he always was good at football.
So you don't like awesome football players? Is that what I'm hearing? Do you think that he's going to not be able to catch the football again? Because I heard reports about that walking into the season. That was a thing, right?
That was such a joke.
Oh, maybe they're painting stripes with the football. Maybe he won't be able to catch it then. That could be it.
Maybe the other team is going to like paint the football before the games. But
Paintgate.
Who did we expect to be one of the pass heaviest offenses in the NFL entering the season?
Oh, it's gonna hurt my heart. The Bengals.
It's true.
So bad, man.
They are fourth in rushing rate right now behind Cleveland, Ugh. Baltimore, and New Orleans. Ugh. They are feeding Joe Mixon. They're running the ball on early downs. They're not throwing on early downs at all.
It's a really efficient offense, man. Doesn't it look so efficient by doing these things?
Right. Their defense is playing better than anybody thought. Mm-hmm. And as a result, yes, Ja'Marr Chase is scoring touchdowns and he's making plays down the field because, again, he's good at football. I'm not saying you just say you look at your roster, you see Ja'Marr Chase and you trade him. But T. Higgins is going to be back. And Ja'Marr Chase is doing this on 5 targets.
Yep.
And that's without T. Higgins last week. And they're still I wonder if they're kind of just protecting Joe Burrow. You don't want him dropping back 45 times a game with that offensive line. You have a very good running back in Joe Mixon. So that concerns me a bit in terms of, again, nobody that has Ja'Marr Chase is trading for Ja'Marr Chase is going to be like, he's good, but the Bengals are running the ball on first down as much as, they don't know that. So, they'll see the numbers, they'll see the touchdowns, and they'll say, okay, I'll give you a struggling receiver. So, again, I don't think you have to trade Ja'Marr Chase, but with T. Higgins coming back and this all of a sudden not being a high-volume passing offense, I think it does make some sense.
It does make some sense, and I'm giving you shit about it, but it makes some sense, especially, it's one of the reasons I was high on Ja'Marr Chase last week is because the volume was going to uptick, he was going to be the main guy there. And he still didn't get a lot of targets, man.
When they go deep,
target shares,
the way the receivers are set up, it's perfect. Tyler Boyd's their third down, slot, short area mm-hmm. guy. T. Higgins is their end zone target. And Ja'Marr Chase is their downfield target. Ja'Marr Chase, when they need yards, they go to Ja'Marr Chase. He's
talking about
awesome.
People mossing people. Ja'Marr Chase is playing really damn well.
He's so good.
He's really good. I mean, we talked about this all offseason, man. We did the prospect profile. His upside is as Davante Adams. He is going to be so stinking good for the rest of his career. It's awesome to see him just putting all the haters in a coffin so early. For players that are aging, and I know I kind of alluded this to earlier, and I'm not saying that he's going to go into a coffin, but you need to be getting him off your rosters. I understand we're talking about underlying metrics, and they're all beautiful for this player. He's still catching passes from frickin' Davis Mills, who I understand they're allowing them to read more of the playbook, but Brandon Cooks is getting a 35% target share, which is redonkulous. The matchup's upcoming, and they start to get nasty this week, Adam. Brandon Cooks is not DeAndre Hopkins. He's a really, really talented wide receiver, but even with a quarterback playing to the level of Davis Mills, and actually he surprised me a little bit last week, but I'm not ready to sit here and call him a good or even a replacement level NFL quarterback.
I would have liked to see him do more, but the Texans play calling was archaic.
Yeah, I mean, his matchups upcoming: Buffalo, New England, Indy, Arizona, the Rams, and Miami. The only pass defense that is outside the top 11 in DVOA right now is Indy out of all of those games. So you're looking at a rookie quarterback who, yes, is going to feed Brandon Cooks. But we're looking at there's possibly going to be another efficiency drop because the matchups upcoming are not good. And even
Can you repeat who they play this week? Because I remember you, I remember telling you that the Bills defense is going to be really good this year, and you weren't so convinced. So I just want
to. I was talking about the run defense. Let's clarify that really fast, okay?
Have you seen the run defense?
Yes, the run defense is good. Yes.
I've taken a lot of L's through the first 3 weeks, so I want to get.
I'll eat crow. Okay, I got it. Yes, watch, the Bills run defense.
Watch Mark Ingram go for 200 rushing yards.
Oh, don't tell me that. I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. No, well, maybe David Jones wants to see that, but everybody else in the world doesn't want to see that. Nobody wants to see Mark Ingram 30 carries and 90 yards and a touchdown. Nobody needs to see that in their life right now. Thoughts on Brandon Cooks, and give me your player that you want to trade away.
First of all, I already did. It was Jamar Chase. Brandon Cooks is, I struggle with it because, yeah, like some of the matchups are bad, but they don't have anybody else to throw to. Anthony Miller is their number two right now. Nico Collins is hurt. They're using like four running backs.
Yeah.
Like this is an ultimate though, like sell high, right? It's a receiver going to get a 27-30% target share when the season ends, most likely. I know it's at like 35% right now, but like his value won't be higher.
No, it's not going to be higher. And now you're looking at these pass defenses they're about to face. And as well as we talked about last week, J.C. Horn left that game with an injury. So what would that game have looked like if J.C. Horn stayed in, who was playing extremely damn good football, man? So I think that it's the time that you need to be getting Brandon Cooks off your rosters right now. Not necessarily saying, like, okay, make it a lateral move to another wide receiver. Let's talk about this real fast. If you can make a move for, say, Brandon Cooks and even not even a slight pay up, but Brandon Cooks, would you take, and I don't usually make lateral moves like this, who would you take rest of the season, Jamar Chase or Brandon Cooks? Give me Chase.
I mean, Chase is a ceiling play, right? Like he has the upside. So
yep, better quarterback play. Maybe the passing rate comes back. He's still really, really good at football. I just don't think that even with the targets and the volume that Brandon Cooks is going to see, instead of him just rolling up 100-yard weeks, that we could see the efficiency is going to drop because this offense is not good still, and the quarterback play is not going to be amazing. So. You marry all of those things with the upcoming schedule that they are facing, and it's not good things for Brandon Cooks. So I think you need to be getting him off your rosters. Look, we are in ramp-up season, Adam, and I'm going to kick this over to you, dude. Because I'm not going to pretend to know anything about NBA, but guess what? I don't have to. I don't have to know anything about NBA because I just lean on people like you and all the rest of the crew at FTN Daily right now, man. Like, the ramp-up is coming. Talk to us about the NBA package before we get up out of here.
Yeah, we launched the NBA Early Bird, which the first 50 spots get in for the $199.99 price before it rises to, I believe it'll rise to $225.99 after the first 50 get in. So there's still opportunity to get in there as the first 50. Listen, we've been...
And this is right now coming out of our Slack channel. There's only 15 of these left. 15! Boom.
So
if you want to get in, you better get in quick because it's flying off the shelf right now.
Yeah, it comes with the optimizer, Fast Eddie Fears rankings, the advanced DVP and splits tool, which I use every single day when I break down the slate and do my article. The premium
Discord. Man, you and Mets have fire write-ups, and I don't play basketball. I don't pretend to know anything about basketball. I've tailed y'all's picks. I've tailed your analysis.
Our NBA team is awesome. Our NBA team is amazing. You have Mets. You have Kawhi Zenberg. You have Fast Eddie Fear. You have Steph. You have so many ridiculously smart and just awesome NBA minds. And that's not to mention we have all that content and everything. I mentioned the Discord, which is always great for, and it's every night, obviously, because basketball is every night. So get on that now. Like you said, 15 spots left, and the price goes from $199.99 to $224.99. Though, ooh, even when the price goes up, it's well worth it.
Yep. So, I mean, get in on that right now. Use promo code FTC. Get signed up and enjoy it, man. The NBA action is lit. I can't keep up with it on a daily basis when I'm tailing picks and stuff like that in the Discord, because every week is a news slate. Every day is a news slate. And so there's so much that, like, you have to be glued in. And an easy way to do that is hop in the Discord, tail these plays, listen to all of the sharp analysis across FTNDaily.com. Again, Adam and I are going to be back. Well, I'm not going to be back, but he's going to be back with a special guest from FTNDaily.com tomorrow to discuss the game-by-game breakdown and then help you with start sits walking into Week 4 action. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.